I want to talk to you about the timing of God this morning. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, now this is out of the 95 version, it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Say that with me, right time. Did you know God has a right time for everything? Sometimes we see things going on and we think, God, don't you see? Don't you know? Don't you understand? But we don't understand is the problem. That God has a timetable that God operates by. And listen, God understands time because God created time. And God understands our situations that we find ourselves in. I want you to understand this morning that God sees what's going on in our lives, but He's working something in our lives, and He wants us to understand that. One of the greatest mysteries that I've always found, and I'm just like anybody else, when I get into a situation where I'm asking God to move or to intervene in my life, I get anxious. Just like anybody else does. I mean, I have to fight that emotion of anxiousness and fear and worry. Wondering, God, where are you? But I want to tell you something. That God's never late. He's seldom early, but He's never late. So one of the great mysteries that people struggle with is the timing of God. And I want you to think about this, man. Have you ever noticed that God never seems to be early when the bills are due? Our best case scenario would be, God, let's have the money in the bank before they come. Yeah. Or when you're sick in your body, healing already be there. Oh, yeah. But it seems like we have to struggle and fight and really fight the good fight of faith in order to receive from God the healing that we're looking for. It's never without a fight, and it's never when we think it should be. Our best case scenario would be when it would be there, the healing would always manifest itself before the doctor say you have anything. But that's usually not the case. It usually comes after we've had a great fight. And the money's in the bank before the bills come due. The problem's solved before the confrontation occurs. How many knows what I'm talking about? But yet we know sometimes that doesn't happen. That there is a good fight. We have to fight a fight. And sometimes the bills are due before we have the money in our hand or in our bank account. But that doesn't mean that God's timing's still not right. The scriptures are full of places where it appears that God came through when it looked like He was in fact too late to do anything. I'm going to pull a couple out for you this morning. The story of Abraham is a powerful case in point. God made Abraham a promise. He said, "You're going to have a son, the son of promise." Abraham was about 75 years old at this time. How many knows that's not a young man? I'm 49 and I don't feel young anymore. And I can only imagine what 75 felt like. Some of you that are 75 said, just hold on, you young whippersnapper. You will get there and you'll feel it and you'll know. But at 75 years old, God made him a promise that I'm going to give you a son. Well, Abraham, just like the rest of us, thought, well, this is going to happen quickly. But I want you to know another period of 24 years went by before God appeared to him again and God gave him this promise. He said, you're going to have a son. And Abraham thought the fulfillment of that promise is going to happen pretty quickly, seeing that Sarah and I are both pretty old. I think Sarah was about 9 or 10 years younger than Abraham. So she wasn't a young chick either. But when all hope was lost, when it seemed like that everything that it couldn't happen. Abraham, she was barren and she couldn't conceive already. But Abraham became to the point where he could not perform. And I'll leave it at that. Abraham was too old. At 99 years old, then the Lord appeared to him. And this is what he said in Genesis chapter 18:14. He said, "Is there anything too difficult for the Lord?" Now this one says, "At a set time I will return unto thee when the season cometh round and Sarah shall have a son." Understand it's a set time, but listen to this version that I have. It says, "At the appointed time I will return to you at this time next year and Sarah will have a son." Now verse chapter 21 and 2. And it says, "So Sarah conceived and bore the son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time which God had spoken to him." I want you to understand this morning something. God has an appointed time for everything in our lives. God doesn't operate according to our our timetable. I wished he did, but he doesn't. And as we go on, I'm going to break out why God doesn't do that. And then there's the story of Lazarus is another example of God apparently being too late. Mary and Martha called for Jesus and the disciples and said, before Lazarus died, he's sick unto death. And the Bible says that Jesus waited another 4 days. They hung around. And it wasn't by happen chance. Jesus knew he was sick unto death. He knew that Lazarus was in bad shape. But they hung around for another 4 days. Instead of running to Lazarus to heal him, Jesus waited around till he died to begin his journey. In fact, by the time Jesus got there, the funeral was over. And he stunk. His sister said, by now he stinketh. Look at John 11:39. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus, however, undeterred, look what he said. He was undeterred by the unbelief that was around him and the stench. He's not too late. Rather, he was just on time. Listen to the rest of the verse. It says 11:43-44. When he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said unto him, unbind him and let him go. Jesus is never too late. Sometimes what we think is too late, God doesn't think it's too late. And we got to come to grips with this, that yes, you may be struggling in the situation you're in right now, and you may think all hope is lost, and you may think that God is late, but he's never too late. He's never too late. He's always right on time. Listen to this. Here's one. Here's something we need to understand about God. He is never moved by our timing. He's moved only in his. And I'm beginning to understand that God is about moving us into his timing instead of us moving him into our timing. We got to remember something. He's God. And we're his people. God is about moving us into his timing. I want you to understand this. God can fix your problem before they happen because he's God. He can fix them anytime he wants to. He can fix them as we're breaking them. He can fix them after we've totally broken the situation and all seems lost. He can do this because he's God. But God has a purpose in what he's doing. God never does anything without purpose. And sometimes we wonder, God, what is your purpose? That's for us to find out. But God never does anything without purpose. Everything that the Lord does is with purpose. And God has purpose in what he does. And he does it in his timing. Listen to this. Why does God's timing always seem different than ours? I'll tell you why. It's because there's this sovereignty issue that we have to deal with. God is sovereign. How many knows what sovereign means? It means he's in control of everything. Huh? Even though things sometimes looks like they're out of control, God is still in control. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You remember the story of Joseph. God gave him the dream that he would be a leader, that his brothers would bow before him. And from that point on to the time that it happened years later, much later, everything looked like it was out of control. Did God fall off the throne? Did God's timetable get broken up? No, it all happened according to God's plan. In Acts 1:6, I want to show you something here. It says, so when they had came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? Acts 1:7 says, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has set by his own authority. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. There's some things God doesn't want us to, he doesn't want us to concern ourselves. We can't change the timing of God, so why do we have to get overly worried about the timing of God when God's going to do something? We can only learn to work in the time that God chooses to give us. And we can learn to relax. Say relax. Because God is in control. If you can learn to do that, you can enjoy the journey. How many knows we're all on a journey? We can't change the timing of God. We can only learn to work in these times which God chooses to give us. Here in Ecclesiastes, it says something about times. And I want to pull this out and just read this to you real quick. It says, for everything there is a season and a time for the for very purpose for every very, and a time for very purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. We want to stop there. What I'm trying to show you this morning, there is a time for everything. What you may be going through this morning, there is a season for everything. There's a season for evangelistic things to happen in a church, for a church to grow. We went through a season here of dryness. How many knows what I'm talking about? In the last couple of months, God has just begun to add people to our church, and we begin to see people. In the last 6 months, we've seen more people saved than we did in the previous 6 years. Why? I don't know why. It's not because I wasn't praying the previous 6 years. And it wasn't because I wasn't preaching as hard as I always preach the previous 6 years. But there's a season for everything. There's a time for everything. There's a time to plant. There's a time to harvest. It don't all happen all at once. And we got to learn to enjoy this journey that God has us on and enjoy life instead of worrying about God when, God when, God when. Because when you do that, how many knows it's frustrating? And I want to say this. I can prove it with a word. By doing that, you just delay what you're believing God for. Because you're missing the point. God is wanting you to grow. Say grow. Grow. All of us, He wants us to grow. He wants to stretch us. How many's ever been stretched by God? Abraham was to the point that he wanted to give up. We know that because he tried it in the flesh. And we know we're suffering the consequences of that right now today. Come on. When he did the thing with the Ishmael thing, that was him trying to do what only God could do. God doesn't want us trying to work out what only he can work out in our lives. Because when we try to do it, guess what happens? We create an Ishmael. And for years and years and years, we've been fighting with Ishmael. The whole Middle East is a big uproar because of Abraham's lack of waiting on God, understanding the timing of God, getting out of the timing of God. I often wondered, had he not made that mistake, him and Sarah, would the child of promise have come sooner? But we don't know. We just know that God said at the right time, he brought it all to pass. The second reason God's timing seems to be so difficult from ours is because there's an unseen orchestration factor that has to be perfectly played out. Think about this for a minute. Before Jesus came, there were people that were dying under the law, that were dying before the law in sin. Is that right? There were people dying that didn't know Jesus. And this was all before Jesus came. Prophecies all had to come together for the right moment. Listen to this for just a minute. I listed a few. These are the prophecies that had to come together. He had to be born of a woman, born of a virgin, born of the lineage of Abraham, the lineage of Judah, the lineage of David, born in Bethlehem from Nazareth, would come out of Egypt and would have a healing ministry. He would be crucified. The right people, the disciples, the 12 disciples also had to be in place. The right people, even the one that betrayed him had to be in the right place at the right time. Does God know what he's doing? The right people. After 400 years of silence, God raised up his greatest prophet, the forerunner, who also had to be in place, John the Baptist. if you study the Old Testament, what you'll find, if you know, if you follow the lineage of Jesus, the enemy was trying all the way from Genesis when he said, I'm going to bring a savior. He told him, Adam, I'm going to bring one. From that point on to the time that he was born, the enemy, Satan, was trying to stop the lineage of Jesus so that it wouldn't happen. But in spite of all of that, God caused it to happen. After thousands of years, the right virgin with the right lineage was in place. And after years of Roman oppression, the right political climate was established as the people were looking for the Messiah like never before. I want to stop here and just take a sidetrack. I want you to understand this. Everything had to be in this right place. The political climate had to be right. The people, the players of the game had to be in the right place for this appearing of Jesus to come. It's a lot like that in our day. The political climate has to be right. The world has to be right. Everything has to be in place for the Antichrist to appear. And we see that happening right before our eyes. Prophecy is being fulfilled. But also for Jesus to return for his saints. It's too wonderful for you and I to try to figure out. It's too deep, too large, too broad, too wide for us to try to get our minds around that and say we can understand every finite detail that God has to deal with. Listen to me. You and I need to understand this, that sometimes the holdup is not necessarily us. Sometimes God's got to work in situations around us to bring about his will. Listen to me. There's 6.5 billion people in the world, and God is having to orchestrate things, and so he doesn't harm another person so he can help you. God has to do a lot of things in order to bring about what you're believing him for. And if there's 6.5 billion people, and you and I can't think more than a couple at a time, thank God he's God, and he can do all this. But he can orchestrate things in such a way that it doesn't hurt other people in order to help us. God is not about taking you somebody else down just to bless you. Are you listening? And this is the things that we need to understand. God has a lot going on that we don't even see nor can fathom with our finite minds. It's beyond us in a lot of ways. Where we come in is there has to be a trust factor on our part that, yes, God understands our condition. Yes, God understands our dilemma. And yes, God knows when the time frame needs to be bringing it about. But I promise you this, God may not always never be early, but he's never too late. I'll tell you a story about a preacher woman and she had more faith than I can ever, Darlene Bishop's her name, than I can ever dream a woman would have. She's a powerful, powerful evangelist. Her husband pastors a very large church in, I believe it's Indiana they're in. And, anyways, she developed breast cancer. And, she wouldn't go to the doctor. Now, I'm not telling you that's the right thing to do, okay? Please don't take out of context what I'm telling you. I believe God works through doctors. I use doctors. But I also believe God can heal us miraculously too. I believe that the Bible says Jesus, by his stripes we are healed. She stood on that scripture. Months went by. Turned into a year, year and a half. She was suffering so mightily, and she was still out on the road preaching, believing God. Now this is going to get a little bit graphic, so please bear with me. I'm not trying to gross nobody out, but I'm just trying to make a point about God's timing. She was preaching, doing everything right. Say everything right. Sometimes when we're doing things right, doesn't mean God's going to move any faster. We got to continue to do the right things. But this woman, her breasts began to deteriorate. The cancer had taken over both breasts. And to the point that she was bleeding externally. And so you can just, in your mind, without me getting too graphic. And one night that she had this lady that traveled with her, was her assistant. Before she went out, took the platform, she was in the back in the room. And she was bleeding. And it came through her blouse. She had changed blouse, whatever. And she looked at that lady that was with her and said, I just believe God. I don't know anything else but God. And her breast had literally begun to rot, for lack of a better word. I don't know if I'm using the right word. From the cancer. The lady that was with her was beyond belief, understanding how she could keep standing and believing, given the condition, and keep preaching that she was in. But the lady left the room, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart. And he told her, because you have stood on my word and have not denied me, this night you are whole. Why did it take so long for God to heal her? I don't know. Why did God let her faith get stretched beyond human reasoning? I don't know. But I know this, God was not late. And that night, her breast was made whole. The cancer was gone. She's been a powerhouse ever since. And I'm telling you, what sometimes seems like it's too late, with God, it's never too late. So we need to understand, there's a need to understand that in the economy of God's timing, all the things have to come together for the right season for things to come to pass in our lives. And just like they did in Jesus' life, they all had to come together. All the right players, all the right the right environment, the right political climate, everything had to be. The political climate had to be such a way that the Roman oppression was so great that they were looking for a savior. You know, the Bible instructs us looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to continually keep our gaze and our focus upon the Lord. And then the Lord can bring about what he wants to bring about in our life. So everything had to be in place. All had to be working according to God's will. How many knows there's a scripture in Romans 8:28 says, God is working all things together for good. Did you get that? All things together. All things have to come together for the good to happen. So in God's economy, timing, everything has to come together. See, if they don't come in the perfect time, it's not the right time. Thirdly, God's timing seems to be so different from ours because there is a higher purpose which we got to realize, and it's called processing. These motorcycle riders have this statement that says, it's not the destination, but rather it's the journey. Paul gave us this when he says, told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Listen, if everything was always there, always waiting on you, and there was no timing involved, no wrestle, no struggle involved, then where would be the fight? And listen to what he says. We think that we understand this, but we really don't. He said, fight the good fight of faith. The enemy is trying to destroy your faith. Because if you don't have faith, you don't have anything. And the fight is about your faith. And if you can hold on to your faith and you can keep fighting the good fight of faith, God will bring about, all things will work together, and God will bring about what you're believing God for into your life. God would think about Abraham, Martha, and Mary. God was stretching and enlarging their faith in the timing process. Did you know the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. It's the patient part that we have trouble with. God is trying to stretch us. He's trying to grow us. He's trying to pull us beyond what we think we're able to. You know, I hear people say that, I can't bear no more. God knows what you're able to bear. As pastoring church, sometimes things get so rough. Sometimes you say, I just don't know if I can take this anymore, Lord. And the Lord just grins at you and says, you'll be all right. Just go on. Just keep on fighting. Keep on trucking. Keep on doing. And God always brings about goodness out of it. You can fight the good fight of faith. You can win this fight. You can believe in the timing of God. You can relax and know that God is working and that you're on a journey. And yes, he may be stretching your faith. And the Lord has stretched me beyond. I told the Lord one day, because I have a very demanding job. I told the Lord not too long ago, I said, God, you must think I have some broad shoulders. Because you said you wouldn't allow to be put on us more than we can bear. And I could just sense the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart and saying, you have not even been stretched yet. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus, no. But I'm growing in my faith because of the stretching. And I'm learning to trust God and to relax and to understand that God is in control and that I don't have to fret and I don't have to worry. All I got to do is leave in God's hands and do my part, and He does His part. And I just praise Him and worship Him and enjoy the journey. You may be going through some stuff this morning. You're wondering, God, where are you? He hasn't left you, because the Bible clearly says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And someone asked me last night here, says, I just don't know how much more I can take of this. You can take a lot more than you think you can. Do you believe God knows your limits? I believe He does. The Lord came through, and in a lengthy and difficult processing, their knowledge and faith in God was taken to a whole new level. A level which never would have happened or been achieved had it been on their timing. And God's doing the same for you and I today. He's taking you to a new level. If you don't exercise your faith doesn't grow. I know that God has given us all a measure of faith. But God expects us to use that faith. And along the way, God helps us to mature us and grow us and cause us to be stretched beyond what we think we're able to bear. And be stretched and believe God through difficult situations and difficult times. There is a finish line for all of us. But we need to know when and where that is in life. He told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Listen to Paul. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I want you to think about this for a moment. Paul told him when they were in a ship, they were taking him to Rome. They were going to he told him not to take the boat out. The captain wouldn't listen to him. They went out anyways. The storm began to hit them. And for 14 days. Now listen, God had told him he was going to be when he first got born again, God told him he would be a witness even unto Rome. To the king in Rome. And he was on that journey. Maybe not the way he had chose to go. But he was on that journey. And he told them not to take the boat out. While they were out in the ship, the storm came. And for 14 days it beat upon that. But Paul, the only believer on that boat, said the rest of them were fasting, but became believers real quick. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. When the storm hits, we all of a sudden we get real religious. Now we're God's best friend. After 14 days, he said, an angel stood by him that night and said, neither fear, take courage, because God is with you, and not a one of you will lose your life if you'll do what I tell you to do. They were warned not to go, but went anyways. But God turned a bad situation around for good. After 14 days of being seasick, you would think, they thought, is God even in heaven? But Paul believed God. He said, I believe in the one who stood by me this night. It's a belief factor. All of us have to trust God. And that's what God is stretching us. 14 days of stretching in Paul, and not a one of them. The ship was destroyed, but not a one of them. But Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There are reasons why God does what He does in our life. Every situation in our lives are unique and different in each believer's lives. We see people get healed instantly when we pray for them. Then we see people, it takes months, sometimes even a year or years before they get healed. I can't claim to tell you I understand all that. I've had God touch me where I got instantaneously healed. And then there's things that I've struggled with for years trying to get physical healing in my body. I don't claim to understand it all. All I know is my part is to believe God. And our destinies, our lives, have to be played out according to God's planning and timing, and not ours. Our destinies are not something we make ourselves, but they are something which we need to discover. Before we close this morning, would you come up, Adam? Let me tell you something. God's greatest victories happen when all seems lost. If you're struggling this morning, I'm talking to you. If you're hurting this morning, I'm talking to you. When all seems lost, and I know a couple of you this morning, you're in that situation. Your back's up against the wall. Things are bad. Things look bad. Not only do they look bad, they are bad. That's when God seems to have His greatest victories in our lives, when we will put our trust in Him. Let me read you a passage of Scripture. Galatians 4:4 says, here in our text, this is talking about the timing of God and the dire need and the last hope a man met and kissed. Listen to what it says. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And then in Romans 5:6 says, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died. It's never too late when God's involved. This morning, stand to your feet with me if you will. I want to give you an opportunity. First of all, bow your heads with me. If you don't know Jesus this morning, it is the right time according to Scriptures. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus, or you've knew Jesus, but you've let your relationship grow cold, and you want to rekindle that fire, I want to pray for you today. If you'll slip up your hand, I just want to pray for you. I want to make sure you're right with God today before you leave here. Is there anybody here today? I know most of you. I know your lives are right with God. I see that hand. Thank you. And if you would, make your way up here. And if you're in a situation, and I've talked to you, some of you last night, I would love to pray for you today that you'll get comfortable in the timing of God. If you'll make your way up here, I'll be glad to pray for you. Extend my faith with you. Believe God for you. Believe God with you. Believe that God will work out His timing and His power will be manifest in your situation and in your problem. If that's you, make your way to the front. And that one that raised your hand for commitment to the Lord, if you'll just come forward, I want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I know there's more of you out there. Brother Miller, Sister Miller, would you come up and help me pray? Yes, ma'am.
I want to apologize to everybody for not being here last night. No, I thought it was the devil trying to keep me away. But I think God had a bigger power because He got my sister to step forward to the church. She's not been to the church in 5 years. And He got her that close. And and I want to thank you all for making her feel well. So that's I'm asking you all to pray that she comes through the doors. We got her on the parking lot. Let's get her through the doors.
Amen. Good work. Hallelujah. Come here, brother and sister. Now, these are prayer warriors. They have just as much faith or more than I got. And I want these two to grab hold of these hands. JD's seen some tremendous miracles, and I want you to pray. She's saying that there's arthritis coming into those hands. And I want you to believe God with them. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
to pray.